Please help me welcome our speaker tonight. His name is Ben D. from York, PA.
Everyone, I'm Ben. I'm an alcoholic. And this is pretty amazing. I remember this group when it was beginning. Seven guys at a different church. A few struggles. And, to look at this today. And, I've been blessed to watch it grow. It's like this today, and I believe we're all here today because of a message. You know, this has nothing to do with me. Right behind me on the wall, that's the only reason I'm here. Whether or not you know it, it's the reason you're here. I know I'd surely be dead. I'm here as a product of God, His mercy. I'm nothing more than an example of what He can do. And my story is simply a matter of how I got to that point. What got me here today. As I said, I am an alcoholic. Because of that, alcohol, did have a place in my life. I believe there's a reason it held such a prominent place in my life. I hear lots of things and lots of common traits we all have as alcoholics in the room, and lots of things we all did that are similar. Most of those things are not good. We're not here because life was so great. I'm not here because I had nothing else to do. This was not the first place I really wanted to end up in life. And by any, I fought to not be here. I fought and struggled to try to maintain that act, man, to present myself to the world as just a normal person. And I dressed the part, I acted the part, I talked the part, I did everything possible. But no matter what I tried, the insides kept getting worse and worse and worse, man. It got darker, it got lonelier, it got emptier. I tell you, thank God for alcohol. It's probably the only reason I'm alive. Because the only thing that could cure that emptiness, that loneliness, that darkness was alcohol. And believe me, when I say I tried everything, I tried everything. Money, it worked for a day, two, and so did, a relationship. So did, you name it, anything material. I needed it, I believe, to make me feel like I thought all of you felt. I thought I needed to, the house, the car, whatever, it's going to make me feel whole. It's going to stop making me feel so uneasy, about approaching the world, about simply stepping outside. And a lot of, if you're an alcoholic, I'm sure you know what I mean. No matter what I wore, no matter how good my hair looked and how much money I had in my pocket, it was scary. Life was scary, especially around other people. It's like I somehow knew I was always lying and acting, and I could never just tell you the truth. I'm scared. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why I feel this way. I just assume I'm different. No one's going to understand, and I'll just keep the show up. And I scatter away, and I get my booze, and I feel okay. And tell you what, I was pretty successful living that way for quite some time, at least to the normal human eye. I would appear to have been a successful individual. Didn't matter. I drank every night. I found different people to hang out with. Alcohol didn't exactly come into my life and stay as a 24-hour event. It had progressed to that. In high school, I experimented, went to parties. In college, every year, a little more got involved until I was asked to leave. There were definitely consequences to my drinking. They did not stop me. It was always something else. There was always another excuse, another reason. It was never going to be alcohol. I enter a place in life where most people are getting married, beginning a family, and life is good. Not me. It's that moment. That's the most profound moment where if you saw me, there'd be no denying to anyone I'm an alcoholic and I have some serious problems. But not me. I, even at the point of low, where nothing's left, that point I'm sure so many of you know, where there is no more family. When your own parents say, "Do not call us anymore, please," our therapist told us to have a pretend funeral because you're destroying our lives now. There's no friends left when that happens. There's no one to call to say, "Hey, can I borrow some more money?" There's no one to support you. There's no one that wants to hear it. There's no one that believes anything. There is me. And what you do, I begin a life, as just a sort of streetwalker. I am alone. All I need is booze, and I'm a homeless guy robbing booze. This is what I had become, and if you saw me up to that point, my parents, everyone thought, he'll be successful. Look at him. He He was good in sports. He was a gifted child. College education, we provided everything. But unfortunately, my mind, this obsessive alcoholic mind, cared about one thing, and that was drinking. You know, because I didn't want any kind of success in my life if I couldn't feel the way booze made me feel. You know, so that came first. Problem was, I reached a point I couldn't stop. You know, so the job has to go. You know, friends, family, all these things have to go. And here we go. We're in life and we're homeless. And you know, it's funny. I'm a crafty guy. I learned to live that way. You know, I could go out in public. Anyway, you know, the loneliness. I can't even describe. You know, the absolute pit of loneliness that I felt. And I'd always heard stories of, you know, you read the paper, so-and-so killed himself, or just these horrible things that people have done to themselves, and you think, like, wow, why, you know? And I absolutely know why. You know, one of my favorite verses in a Creed song is, you see my wrists, I know your pain. And man, that just rings so true with me. I tried to kill myself like it was my job. You know, at first I want the easy way out. I'm going to OD. I'll drink myself to death. I'll take a few substances to take me out of this game. I can't stand to feel this way anymore. You know, even drinking, man, and just knowing, you know, that this is hopeless. My only way out is death. You know, God, you know, help, take me out. You know, it's funny when you really, my first heartfelt prayer is to kill me. You know, God, end this for me. You know, and it's just kind of funny, but I believe God was listening. I think he had some different ideas. And, you know, I am truly blessed he felt differently about where I should be today. But those moments of trying to kill myself, you know, there were many people trying to help me, offering everything they could, medical professionals. I began, you know, the big book talks about the institutions and all these wonderful places. We end up in jail and, you know, all the places we dreamed about and aspired, you know, to end up. I'm there, man. I'm in psych wards. It's funny because, even, you know, waking up in the hospital for the third time after another suicide attempt, them trying to find out what's wrong with me, I won't even bring up the drinking. I'm going to protect that with all I can. You know, and I tell them about how, you know, my parents were divorced early and just left such this dark place in my heart. And this whole blah, blah story of anything they're going to believe, you know. Because they offered me some sort of medical ways out. You know, here's some Prozac, we'll try that. And here's, so, you know, this psychotherapist and psychiatrist. And man, I came up with some great stories. I would keep, you know, they would call their partners in the room to come hear the stories this guy's telling them. And they got their books and they're taking notes and they're going to figure me out. I'm like, whatever, give me the meds, man. You know, give me the pills. If you could OD on Prozac, I would have. You know, because I can tell you in my mind, here's how it works. You hand me a jar of pills. And you say, okay, now you're going to take one of these a day for 21 days, and then it's going to work. Now, sadly enough, I actually believed this, and I was waiting. You know, I remember the day before the 21st day, how excited I was that life was going to change tomorrow. Absolutely. I was telling the one guy, there was another guy who was pretty much homeless, he would listen to me. And I thought, it's going to be different. You know, but I mean, Prozac does not work when you're drinking two bottles of vodka a day. You know, you're robbing them, you're crushing them up, you're snorting them, you're selling them, you're doing, you know, it's Prozac. You know, I've got, and when you're homeless, you've got nowhere to store this stuff. I'm wandering the streets with my little outpatient free clinic bag of samples. Okay? This is what I'm clinging to life with, man, and I've got nothing else. Living in the woods, I'm eating Wawa where I lived at the time. I was out in Chestnut Hill, Pennsylvania. It's a pretty affluent town. You know, I had to be pretty successful to end up there. But I ended up being the one homeless guy there. Actually, there was another guy. He was more famous than me. He made the paper. I stayed hidden in the woods. He was more in the middle of it all. But, you know, I'm in Chestnut Hill, Pennsylvania, outside of Philly. There's doctors, there's lawyers, there's me, the homeless guy. And, you know, I'm robbing everything, trying to kill myself. I ended up on a rooftop one night, and, you know, part of the proof of why I believe God was listening, I had another plan, is that night at 4 a.m. I'm on a rooftop with the last, you know, pounder of Bush beer, staring. I'm on the ledge and I'm staring up, and whatever I spouted out as some sort of save me now prayer then was actually answered. And a guy said, Ben, what are you doing? The maintenance man for the apartment buildings decided to come up to the roof that night and talk me down. You know, because I guess at 4 a.m. he just hangs out. You know, so So, you know, God's sending messengers, man. And there were many more as I look back in my life. But that was the moment I think my will was going to take me out. I was going to encourage myself into it. Whose would give me that, man? Whose was my power? You know what I mean? I had no power to stop, that's for sure. You know, what happened was, it's funny enough, I finally just gave in. Man. I threw myself to the will of anything that would help. And there was a guy who, oddly enough, you know, helped me. Two individuals stand out in my life, and I'll never forget them. Two angels, neither of which are alcoholics or are in AA. Just people who, in the worst of my worst, you know, just walking the streets, looking like I looked. Climbed down. He was working. He worked for, I think, Verizon at the time, and was up on a telephone pole, and decided, he saw me, climbed down, walked up to me, and asked if he could pray for me. You know, that doesn't happen. You know, what did I present to this man for him to actually do that? You know, I can only imagine what I must have been, and what he saw, and all he offered. You know, I'm thinking, I want cigarettes, man. You got $5? You know what I mean? I don't need prayers, man. I need something tangible. That's what it's all about in my world, right? I need to touch it. It's not real. You know, he offered me the greatest power he had in his life, man. He offered me the one thing he knew was going to help me. And you know, he talked to me, and I actually felt okay through that. He put his hand on me and said some prayer I won't ever remember. But that feeling of, it felt like he cared, and that was pretty neat. You know, no one cared. I didn't even care. You know, and this guy, he offered me that and talked to me, and it turns out, you know, he's just a guy who found his own sort of path to God in his life and lives a set of principles and helps others. You know, just not an AA. He didn't have a problem with drinking. But, you know, he gave me something pretty special. And then there was another guy who got me, he got me committed. You know, it's funny. I think how great this was and how much he did. But he got me 302. And, meaning the police were hunting me down and going to lock me up in a psych ward. You know, and he managed to make that happen, and I guess most of the town agreed with him that I needed a little help. So it's funny. I think the way they did it, they lied and said it was my birthday. I remember a birthday, and I know that means drinking, so I'm going, whatever. And they took me out, and I don't remember. I was in a blackout, of course. He said I actually, when all was said and done, and my mind came back, he said I actually got away from the cops for about 7 hours, and it was like this big manhunt thing through the woods of Chestnut Hill, and. Whatever. I'm like, okay, man. Now all I know is I'm locked in this glass room with police security. I wasn't going anywhere. That's all I knew. I was handcuffed to a bed. And you know, I felt some relief. You know what I mean? Like, wow. And then I realized today I felt some relief because there were some powers surrounding me that were about to take charge of my life. For a moment, it wasn't up to me. There was just nothing I could do. There was no decisions I could make. There was no scam I could create. Nothing was getting me uncuffed from this bed. I could just sit and be and throw myself into the mercy of these people. And that felt pretty good. Even through, you know, with the withdrawal going on and the detoxing and the shaking and stuff. And I ended up, you know, in a straight-up psych ward in Philadelphia. What I do in that scenario is kind of try to impress the nurses and doctors. Okay, it took me about a day sober to think I'm better and formulate a plan for life of how I'm going to make this situation better. What I do, I believe I'm going to impress the nurses, like kind of like a movie. I saw it in a movie. That's the only reason I got the idea. But I'm going to like impress the nurses. They got money. They got. They're going to take care of me. You know, I was pretty sure I was not going to be able to take care of myself at all in life. I couldn't be responsible. You know, I couldn't be mature. I couldn't grow up. I could drink and be just pretty much stupid. You know, and I was aware I was only capable of that. And you know, so I remember, you know, I'm reading medical books. I'm putting on a show in front of them. You know, I'm in a psych ward. Now, mind you, I'm not in like an alcoholic place. This is where the first person I saw was naked. 5 feet away from me in a hallway like this, peeing, talking, without a care in the world. And I'm sitting there going, thinking of how much better off I am than this guy. Oh man, I'm not that bad. You know, I'm judging the first guy I see in the psych ward, okay? And it's horrible, you know, and I feel better about myself, you know, looking at this guy. And that's how it goes. And, you know, they gave me some coloring books, and I felt way too important to color, and all the stuff, you know. And anyway, I end up, I guess I graduated from their captivity for a week or whatever they kept me. But they sent me to some dual diagnosis unit. I guess they got a hunch. There's something else with this guy, you know. There must be a dual diagnosis unit. We're half psych ward. We're covering eating disorders. We're covering alcoholism, drug addiction. We're covering whatever. But anyway, I end up in this place, and I think they had me out there a good month. And I remember guys, you know, trying to escape. And I guess I could have tried too, but for some reason, I didn't. By all means, I know my personality and who I was, and I should have had that idea as well. I think I realized, like, beyond that iron gate, there's nothing, you know. Best place for an alcoholic like me to be is at that point of, maybe it may be possible, but there's nothing. There is nothing, you know. The fact that I could sleep indoors and eat was the most I'd had in a long time, you know. And I stayed. Sure enough, they sent me out, and, you know, just more proof I'm an alcoholic. I'd say the first day stepping out of that place, I was celebrating. You know, I graduated or whatever. I don't even know how my mind twisted this scenario to think, let's just be normal now. You know what I mean? They got the medication cocktail figured out correctly. You know, now you just go get them. Go at life again. You know, and of course I was right back. And, you know, this time I ended up in this, just a rehab. And I think, you know, it wasn't the fact that I was in a rehab. It wasn't what they were about or what they were teaching or anything. It was just that inside I had finally reached a place, man. The fight was over. You know, I was beaten. I was beaten enough to sit there and go, I'm going to actually listen. And, you know, in rehab, there's lots of opportunity to do things that have nothing to do with recovery. You know, I mean, we got pool and ping pong, and there's women, and everyone's dating the second day, and we're doing whatever. And I just, for some reason, that one of those inner conversations to myself for once was something healthy of like, why don't we just listen? Why don't we just pay attention? I remember sitting on a step. I had found a big book in there. But I don't know who smuggled the big book into rehab, but it worked its way in and into my hands. And I remember sitting on these steps off in the corner of a building, and there was like four people with me, and we were just reading it. I was just reading this thing. I don't know what one of the stories. I don't know what I was reading. Probably one of the stories, because I didn't want to learn, you know, the actual path to healing yet. I'm just in it for the, you know, I guess I thought I looked good reading it. But I remember the psychiatrist that they assigned to me. You know, same guy who stopped writing like 20 minutes into our first meeting and looked at me. He goes, "Do you realize you're telling me 8 stories at once right now?" I'm like, which one's the best? Which one should we, you know, what do you want? What do you want? What's going to get me the graduating grade is how I, you know, that. But I remember him walking out. He looked over and he just nodded and kept going. You know, and I look at that today and I'm like, man, you know, he actually knew. You know what I mean? He actually knew that, you know, that book didn't come back into my life for a few more years. You know, leaving rehab, I didn't want anything to do with that book. I went to a recovery house because that's where a guy like me ends up. I have my little bag of toiletries from rehab and the clothes that I got from there, and that was all I had in life. I had nothing outside, no parents, no anyone, no hope. Absolutely did not at all think I was staying sober. I went to this recovery house, and, you know, day one, everyone was leaving on pass. It was like Christmas time, and they're all like, you know, bye. And there's another guy coming in. He has kidney stones. He's screaming on the floor, and I'm standing there. You know, it's like, okay, welcome to recovery, I guess. Here we are. Let's go. And it's me and this guy screaming, and we know, he's screaming in pain with kidney stones, and he's going, I need to smoke. And I'm thinking, yeah, me too. I end up, you know, I walked like 3 hours to a hospital because I learned some good things homeless, like how to do everything free, and smoking is one of them. So I know emergency room ashtrays keep us smoking for a few days, no problem. Walked about 2 hours, got myself some cigarettes, came back. You know, me and this guy just wandered the streets. I'm sure if we had money, we would have been drunk that night, but we didn't know where we were. We were out in Pottstown, Pennsylvania. Never even heard of the place, man. Only place that was taking me. You know, God bless Pottstown. And, you know, one of the stipulations of living in that house is you got to go to AA. Oh, great. All right, whatever, you know. The picture I had, AA, man, you know, it's like everything else, the furthest from reality. You know what I mean? Life as an alcoholic, the whole paradox of what I think versus reality are as far apart as it can possibly be. You know, the miserable, brown bag, angry, just sick people I pictured AA being. Which is, even when I was that person, I wasn't going to AA. You know what I mean? I was too sick to come to AA. I was not walking through those doors. I found something completely different. And it was a blessing that I had to go. I would not have gone, I guarantee you. I went and I sat and I was scared. You know, I'm a guy, I'll come, my ego will put on an act and I'll pretend, because you're all here and I think you all know each other and I'm the outcast and what are you going to think of me? That's what reigns of most importance in my mind walking into AA for the first time. What are they going to think of me? I want to be accepted. You know, that stupid empty feeling, that stupid lonely feeling, that stupid I'm different feeling that I can't stand. Didn't leave because I'm sober. You know what I mean? Now you're going to cast me into a room full of people I don't know. It's horrible. I was terrified. And, you know, I'm shaking. I'm red. I'll never forget that. Everyone's reading the big book. And, I figured out I have to read. You know, it goes around the room like it used to do in school. And everyone's reading the paragraph and I'm counting. You know, okay, which one am I going to have to read? Right? I don't hear a word of this book because all I'm concerned about is 17 paragraphs I got to read. You know, so I'm just reading this paragraph over and over and over. So I know all the words. There's a comma after that word, so pause. You know, I'm like, I'm going to nail this paragraph. You all are going to love me. You're going to embrace me. This lady out here reads two paragraphs. I'm like, uh-oh. So the alcoholic mind just starts the whole, which one? Up one, down one. So now I got to read them both. Because by the time I figure it out, it'll already be to me. I can't figure out what is going on. And it's like the bell rings and it's over and we're going to pray now. And I'm like, terrified. Welcome to AA. Yeah, let's go, man. A life of this? Absolutely. I can't wait, man. The only reason, you know, and I came back because I had to. And it's cool because I had nothing else to do. I had no job. I had no money. I had no friends yet. I'm meeting the guys in the house. The only social activity we have is AA meetings. And it's 2 blocks away, and there's 3 a day, so there I am, 3 hours a day, you know what I mean? And I start to get this thing figured out, because I'm not going to ask you. I'm going to watch and learn, like I always do, and I'll figure it out. So I got it figured out within a week or so. I figured out, okay, it's about, you know, I got to be the leader. You know what I mean? I'm hearing the most important person in the room stuff. I'm hearing it's all about me. I'm like, yes, you know, I know that. Sure. And I'm hearing, and I'm decoding, you know, I'm figuring it out with my sick alcoholic mind. You know, because I'm not asking anyone for help. You know, I'm just the same guy, man. There's no booze, there's no relief, there's no anything. It's me and my spinning little head, you know, going insane with you all. And I believe that's what this is. And we're okay. I want to drink. I'm going to go. I'll tell you. That's what this is about. Guys, I'm going to drink. And I start to run. And you dive and get me and drag me back. And we fight through. And we're another day sober. Yes, you know. And I had all kinds of ideas of the Rocky soundtrack playing. I was going to keep my headphones. My life. Like, that's it. I'm not going to do anything but stay sober. And that's the intensity. Because I am. I knew I was, like, really sick. And I am, you know, that's all I'm going to do. I'm never going to work. I'm just staying sober. Eventually, I'll be the leader because I'll have, like, when you all die, I've got the longest time here. Let's go. And so the fight begins. And you know what happens? When I'm a sick alcoholic, I'm impatient. I'm not about to wait 30 years for you all to keel off or drink. I got to figure something out. Man, that guy really needs to die soon. You know, I start hoping, like, you know, people will get picked off, whatever. The bar will snatch them up, and I can hurry up and progress this path to leadership of you all. Because I've got ideas for this whole AA thing, and we're going to do some great stuff. We're all going to be somebody and follow me and blah, blah, blah. Oh, man. You know, and there's me 6 months into AA. You know what I mean? The president of AA itself. In my mind, this is what's going on, man. And so needless to say, I wasn't getting it. You know what I mean? That's not the message that's brought this group from 7 members to this today, right? That has nothing to do with AA. That's what my sick mind thought. And that's exactly what I would think today if I didn't finally give in and ask someone for help. You know, because when I don't have alcohol, I don't have drugs, I don't have any kind of relief whatsoever, I'm just this crazy guy. You know, and people would tell me that. I just thought it was some cool thing. We told you, yeah, you're crazy. Yeah, you're crazy. No, I was crazy. And they knew it. And sure enough, man, thank God. There was a guy one day, he came in and he spoke. And there was this an hour of stuff I never heard. There was something in this big book, an actual path to recovery, healing. There was a lot of verbs in what he said about doing stuff. And ultimately, I'm going to get better. You know what I mean? This whole like God thing. And I'm going to feel. And I'm just like, where is this guy from? You know, he must be from Florida or something. Like, what are we supposed to do? I'm looking around the room wondering if we're supposed to get out of Pottstown or whatever is supposed to happen. I don't get it. Something's wrong. He's different. But you know what, man? I ended up shaking his hand. And I said, will you help me? And this kid was younger than me. He's like, get in the car. You know, I'm just like, whoa, what do you mean? No, I got a date in an hour at the diner. We got coffee. And now, like, man, I'll tell you, I ended up in his car, and he spread open that big book, and he just said, this is going to protect you from me. And ultimately, I just knew I was next to something real. You know, he was doing everything opposite of what I believe, in the sense of I have to, like, tell you how great I am, or how I have to sell myself and my ideas and all that. He's just putting himself out of the game. He said, you know, only thing that's going to save you is God. Here's the way I got there, you know, and this is what I'll show you. And you know what, man? I just said okay. You know, I just said okay. And he took me, he began me on this path, and, you know, he took me through these steps, and for some reason, right along the way, it grabbed me. Even if, you know, for some reason it was odd, it wasn't about like staying sober, it wasn't about just having a better life, it was weird, it was like something inside of me just wanted to have this companionship or this relationship with God. You know, like something deep inside of me knew I'm right where I'm supposed to be right now. You know, and it was peaceful and it felt right. And I can't remember the last time I ever did anything in my life that felt right. You know, everything I knew a life of presently doing something while my mind had to be 3 months down the line covering up all the lies and excuses for this thing I'm doing. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I know. And it just felt, you know, it felt peaceful. It felt right. And, you know, he shot me into action. I remember that first car ride, I was praying. And I didn't know what to say. He just said, it's okay. Pray. You know, and I said, okay, you know, and it was about the action of praying. It was about, you know, unbeknownst to me, I was beginning a relationship with God. I was beginning some sort of communication. If I'm going to have any kind of relationship, there has to be communication. I didn't know God was always right here, right here, right here. I thought it was some, like, journey to up there, you know, that I would reach through this, you know, through whatever, a lifetime of seeking that. And it, you know, we hear, if you seek, you will find. And sure enough, I found pretty quickly. You know, for me, it was a matter of just sort of clearing out all the blockage that was keeping me from knowing this God. And for me, that, you know, that fourth and fifth step really took a big chunk of that blockage out. You know, and I'm glad. I don't know if I would have survived a year in AA the way I was. You know what I mean? I mean, I was 6 months sober. That when I had all that cool stuff going on about how I was going to lead the pack and all that, I was also on a bridge talking about how my mom would be proud because I'll die sober. You know, and that didn't seem right. That didn't seem like happy, joyous, and free, I hear. You know, well, I'm thinking about killing myself sober. You know, so, you know, in that fourth and fifth step, there was a... I just saw it all wrong. You know, I thought life was this big vending machine that was I didn't need money for. I just could pull the lever of choice. Me, 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 me. What can it give me? You. Until you were out. Your little spiral thing ran out of item of choice, you know, like parents. I pulled their lever till there was nothing left, man. And once that's empty, I don't need that lever anymore. You know what I mean? Eventually that vending machine was empty. Life had, you know, it's just like, man, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. And then it's give me more, 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 more. Because why? At the end of it all, I need, because I'm just so empty. You know, and to have a sponsor point that out to me, like, was such an eye-opening experience. And, you know, Where would I be without a sponsor, honestly, listening to myself? You know what I mean? Guiding myself through. Even, I've read those before him. I don't know what any of it means. I don't know anything about, you know, path to God, about spirituality, about peace, about doing things for others. Yeah, right. You know what I mean? I knew about, like, doing a job for a boss who's going to pay me. You know, I am the foundation of all I do, because that's what life's about. You know, and here I'm learning the reverse in one fell swoop, man. And in that fourth and fifth step, I saw how I did all these things. I saw how I would cut you down if there was something in it for me. I was in competition with all of you, and it was about trampling over you to get to my end result quicker, and bye. You know, and I'm missing out on life all over. I mean, as a human being, I need to be fed, right? Water and food for my body. Spiritually, I need to be fed, you know, and my heart was starving, and I felt it. And, you know, it was through interaction, you know, human interaction with him first that allowed me to open up to begin with you, that eventually this God could pour into me. And that's exactly how it all felt, man. And, you know, I remember just being able to talk to people and care. And I remember saying, like, this is what life's all about. You know, just finally, this was, you know, I'm probably a year into this whole recovery thing. You know, I am December 28th of 2005 is my anniversary date. So this will be my fifth year, which I was telling Jeff earlier, I'm really excited I get my marbles back this year. You know? Now I got 5 years to learn to play with them, I guess. That's what I'm told. But I assure you, if I would have waited 5 years to do anything, I don't know where I'd be. I do not know where I'd be. I was put in action early on. I went through these steps early on. I didn't do everything perfect after them. It was just like kindergarten. I learned some stuff then. I didn't do it all perfectly right after. As life progressed, I took the basic knowledge and learned to do it better. Same thing with these steps. There's, here, go help people. You know, and the only thing stopping me was fear, but thank God for my sponsor going, Ben, where's fear ever gotten you? Get out there, get moving. Okay, so I went to try to help people. You know, and the only thing I really had that I knew was any kind of weight or value in my life whatsoever was these steps. It was the only thing that I possessed at that time in my life. And I realized, you know, I've been looking for this feeling. I tried everything in the world just to give me this feeling. That's what it was about. For once, I felt I had purpose. I didn't feel empty. I could come to these meetings. I didn't want you all to die. I was just fine being the guy of the year when you had 30, whatever. I wasn't in competition anymore. My mind stopped. You know, it was like I filled up. That whole problem at the core, all that time I heard, the problem's you. It was right. Problem was me. It was beginning to heal. I was beginning to heal. I was beginning to recover because I was taking action. You know, they were outlined right in front of me in that book, taking those actions, you know, and that I'll recover and I'll know peace and all these promises will start to come true. And I'm like, man, you know, I felt that way early on. When I began helping people, I kind of, you know, I sputtered about, I screwed up, and I realized, you know, it's the action of helping people. It's the action of giving. It's must, you know, that's where I'm getting this connection with God. I'm finally feeling in my life. I went through a lot of tears. I went through so much joy. You know, this massive, massive change of me, my being, my understanding, my life. You know, what happened? A lot of good things started happening in my life. And I really wasn't doing much in my life whatsoever. I was more concerned with the guy that looked like I did. You know, I realized there's something going on in me. There's something real to this. I didn't care about the people that were kind of mad at what I was doing. You know what I mean? I was like, man, on a path. I was sort of, I felt comforted. I felt, you know, it's that path, that position of neutrality the big book talks about. I'm protected. You know, we would go places like Kensington in the war zone laughing. You know, and just, we were protected. We went into some places we should not be. We were surrounded by drugs. We were surrounded by booze. I, by no means, had enough time sober to be around booze, drugs, all the stuff. And tell you what, it had no attraction to me. I had no need for it. Booze never chased me down, tackled me, and put itself in my body. You know, I sought it out of a need. You know, we were beginning to heal that need. And what happens, you know, over time now, the things that have happened in 5 years are just absolutely, I mean, it feels like a lifetime. You know, and I feel like probably where I should be, you know, and now at my age in life, and I was actually able to get a job again. You know, my first job sober lasted 2 weeks, and I almost beat up an 18-year-old kid. Because you know what happens in 2 weeks when I take a job as like the lowest level employee? I should be running the place. They don't know what they're doing. These owners are just out of their minds. I start to like form this mutiny with the that's what I do, you know. And I had to learn how to serve other people just to serve them, you know, not to move up, not to get more for me, just because it's what's supposed to be done. And I did. And you know, that even works at work. You know, and it turns out I can be successful. You know, I can actually have a job for years, almost 4 years now, the same job. Wasn't asked to leave. I was asked to be promoted. You know, and that's insane. You know, I was asked to take on more responsibility. When I was the guy to shirk all those things, you know, I would drink them away. So many blessings have come into my life. You know, it's hard for me to even prioritize them. Which ones should I share? You know, the friendships are out of this world. They're all over the country. You know, being alone and not having parents to call, to tomorrow going to, let's go to California and having a place to stay, or Colorado, or Florida, or Quakertown, or wherever. And it's, wow, you know, the actual depth and value to the friendships we form, because, you know, my heart has opened up and I can be a caring, loving individual and realize no matter where we all are here, we're all part of God. No matter what, you know, this is what's starting to, this is what's coming into my life. You know, this is what these steps are giving me. And, you know, it's just practicing them more. You know, and things are getting better and better. My parents come back into my life. They sense something's different. My dad says, Ben, you're not the same guy that we remember. You remind me of when you were 6. You know, I guess before the alcoholic change. But back when I used to run into a room, he said, and just like hug everyone and love them all and care. You know, they welcomed me back to their life. You know what I mean? You know what they say now? They say, call anytime. We love hearing the good news. I made a vow to myself never, ever to call them again with bad news or ask for anything. My sponsor taught me how I'm a taker. You know, and I want to change that. I want to give. So I just made that little pledge. Like, you know what? If I'm ever going to call my parents or any of these people again, I'm going to say, I'm going to share something good with them. I'm going to be a giver in that situation, whether it's just good news. And you know what? People are attracted to that. My parents welcomed me back into their life. You know, call anytime. They came to visit. They had one of the biggest blessings they ever had in their life. This summer, they got to be at my wedding, which for a mother who says goodbye to their son while they're still alive, is a pretty big deal, you know. It showed them, you know, my dad and her dad and me sat at dinner and cried. You know, my dad, just even talking about the path he saw his son live through, undeniably will admit the presence of God, because nothing else worked, you know. Undeniably, a man who really has had a great life, hasn't needed to, you know, sort of profess his life to God as I may have, believes, you know, changed his life. He, you know, their relationship's gotten better, their life's gotten better, and we're a family for once. You know, my family has grown and grown and grown, and as I said, you know, I got married. Well, you know, the guy that people used to run from, you know, one day I'm out walking my dog, which, by the way, has survived with me for 4 years now. A living being. I have learned to be responsible, thanks to Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, and that's turned into another dog and another cat and a wife, and everyone's alive and we're all healthy. For, you know, it's pretty amazing. But you know, it's funny because I met her, and I want to bring that up because I believe I was told by my sponsor, you know, I'm going to go through these steps and I'm going to go and share a message of hope and I'm going to help people. And God has a life plan for me. I don't need to worry about it. I don't need to go after anything. I just need to do this. And everything, way better than I ever could have planned it, will occur at the point God sees fit as I progress in my journey. And I absolutely believe that. You know, even everything that has come and entered into my life to this point, better than I've ever had, with all the efforts, you know, when I was going after life, attacking it with vigor to be successful and achieve all these things in one fell swoop, blows it away. My life's full of just immense love. There is, you know, when I met my wife now, she was my neighbor. You know, and they got a puppy, and we were walking dogs, and we say hi. I had like 4 guys from AA over, and we were just, you know, AA talk. It only takes 2 minutes before we think her and her roommate are lesbians, just because they're phys ed teachers, you know, whatever. And she gets a kick out of that. She tells me she thought I only had one shirt because I wore the same shirt every day. And, but you know what? You know, what I know, the old me knows, you know, see something, I want it because it'll make me feel better, go after it, and suck the life out of it, and it'll go away. You know, and this was more of a bringing together, a sharing, a blossoming, a getting to know, and turning around one day and being in love. You know, and knowing my partner's with me. You know, and I thought, in the beginning, I remember I asked her something. It might have been our first date or something, but I had asked her something, and she said, you know, I'm going to pray about that, and then I'll let you know. And so she's in AA, you know, right away. No one else does that. No one does that unless they have to. We do that in AA. And you know what? She's not in AA, but she's a principled girl, man. She has a great relationship with God, and I saw that, and that's what I was attracted to. You know, we get to share that. That's what our life. Ultimately, we are aware. That's why we're married. You know, we are to support each other in this journey, to serve God. The rest is all just fun addition, you know. But that's the basis. That's what we're here for. Amazing blessing to watch my family come together for that event. You know, you get the tears, the joy. You know, it's just one of the many things that's been. That's the most recent, so it does stand out. You know, and it's funny because I look at my life and how I tried to kill myself and destroy myself, and I come to realize one day, you know, I'm smoking. And it doesn't make too much sense, you know what I mean? And I look at, why aren't I living healthy? Why don't, you know, just because I'm not drinking, am I really being, you know, the guy I want to be? And so anyway, I went after that test. I said, you know, I realize God can help me with anything. You know, if I can be sober, God can do anything. So I know it's not God, I know it's me. And I began, it was months of praying. Wasn't asking to quit smoking. I wasn't trying to be selfish about it. It's tough to explain that scenario. I don't feel it was something I had to do as much as the whole not drinking thing. But I realized again, I had come, it put me back into reflection of what AA has taught me. It is about my purifying to a point of receiving and feeling God and allowing His power to emit into my life. And I come to realize if I'm still smoking, I'm not doing that. I need to look inward real quick. Let me check some things out. And I realized, you know, when we're given visions, we're given what the big book calls sixth sense, we're given a lot of different things that most normal people don't have. And I know it was going to be when I got married, that would be it. You know, I was just shown that. And sure enough, you know, the day we got in the car to go, we went down the shore for a week to get married. It was June 2nd. It was the last. The day before that was the last cigarette. You know, and it hasn't been eons of time, but it left. It's not a mental battle. It's just like the booze, man. I've never won that fight. If it entered my mind, have a drink, I was drinking. It may be an hour from now. It may be two. As long as I could struggle to not, but I was drinking. You know, and that had to leave. And God has been the only thing that's allowed that to happen. And so there's been all these negative things in my life. Energy drinks. You know what? God provides me all the energy I've ever needed. What am I drinking three monsters a day for? You know what I mean? Smoking two packs. It's all gone. You know, but and you know, I realized, you know, I'm not going to settle, man. You know, we don't have to. You know, I watch so many people come in here and they're like, oh, I'm sober. That's it, man. And we will sit and we will just cuddle away. And I did it. You know what I mean? And I realized we don't have to do that, man. This thing's about that relationship with God, right? If He's here, then it's about us achieving that, feeling that. With that, we can do anything. My sponsor promised me, here I stand. You know, whether or not I'll continue to do the same tomorrow, I don't know. But right now I am. You know what I mean? And while I'm here, I'm going to keep telling everyone the same thing. It does work and God will do it. You know, it is up to us. I'm told every time when I'm brought to a meeting and they're going to prop me up in front, this is not about me whatsoever. It's about a new guy. I am not the most important person in this room by any means. You know what I mean? It is that new guy. He's what keeps this whole revolution of God intertwining through our lives happening. You know? It is about that guy hearing for the first time in his life, guess what, man? You don't have to pretend anymore. You know what I mean? Even in here. It is real. I know a slew of people in this room will put their hand out, you know, right now and go, let's go. That works. Here's what I did. We'll screw up all along the way, but guess what? It still works, man. It is not about being perfect. What's this? Progress, not perfection. I am not even close to perfect in anything I do ever, you know, but I feel there has been progress in my life, in my relationship with God because of this. You know? I know I haven't thought about a drink in a long time. I think when I come here is the only time I even think of booze. You know, revisiting my story. It never enters the scenario. I've learned to bartend sober. You know, I was in the restaurant industry. That's where when I became homeless, I managed restaurants. I thought that was the problem. You know what I mean? That's the lifestyle we live. We work hard, play hard. We go out all night. We do all kinds of crazy things. I can never do that again. Well, here I am today to tell you, you know, I'm doing it. You know, and I didn't even seek after it. You know, you get a phone call out of the blue from some lady in New Hampshire talking about whatever, and on the other end you've got a friend who works for this company who says, yeah, our principal motto is to serve others. I'm thinking, yeah, this may be where I'm supposed to be. And sure enough, you know, I enter back into restaurants and I learned to bartend, and I'll tell you, I spent 3 days behind a bar surrounded by booze, spilling on me. Booze was never the problem, I can tell you right now, man. You know, being as true and as filled with God as I ever had been, I got to enjoy 3 days behind a bar. You know, I used to have visions of becoming a bartender when I was drinking, like cocktail, and it was going to be all like that, you know, and all this stuff. And this was so different, man. It was almost saddening. It was almost like I knew, you know, I saw through everyone at that bar. You know what I mean? It was like, wow, that was me. And I thought people were seeing this. Like, I was so great and such a big deal. And look how important I am. And look at my watch and my shirt and all this. And I'm drinking. And I'll tell you, man, being on the other end of that bar, I was like, you know, what's wrong? You know what I mean? Like, watching life click by with every drink, every hour. I did it day after day after day after day, thinking the opposite. You know, and I'll tell you, I stepped out of that without an issue whatsoever. To this day, again, I'm surrounded by a lot of substances, which by all means, I don't know, some people say I shouldn't be around, but I don't know. We as alcoholics who are suffering are usually around alcohol. You know, I mean, I don't get calls from guys who are like on remote islands where there's never been booze. Going, I need you to get me out of here. I need help. I've been to quite a few crack houses sober. You know, a couple heroin dens getting closed for guys that because they don't want to go back. You know what? They're in no position to go back. You know what I mean? When you're a day out of that stuff, I'm supposed to be the guy to go. Right? Doesn't the book tell us that? We're going to go into some shady places. You're going to be all right. You're going with a mission. You're going serving God. He will take care of you. I've been taken care of every time. You know, I'll say that part of the book's true as well. You know, and everything in that big book has come true in my life, has absolutely served great purpose, has given me that relationship with my higher power. I'll say God. There's no more lump in my throat because I know I'm lying when I say it. You know, when God comes out, I know what I mean, finally. You know what I mean? That's just a word. You know, and it means something different to many people. At one point, it meant something pretty bad to me. You know, God never cared. You know, he never changed his stance of being there with open arms, you know, waiting in love for me. You know, regardless of what I thought, which would lead me to believe that regardless of what any one of you think, he's still waiting. It's okay. You know, if it's okay for a guy like me, it's okay for anyone. If anyone doesn't deserve to be here, be sober, enjoying the life that he's living, it is me, man. I am not deserving at all. I became willing, you know. I became in love with God. I did what I was told. I do what I am told. You know, I live a life with and for God. And here we are. And it has been getting better. It has been growing. I continue to learn these principles that are outlined in that book to allow life to grow and for others to get better. I mean, man, you know, what can I say? All I can say is, if you don't have a sponsor, man, it's not about being a puppy dog. You know, it's not about, you know, ego. It's not about this sort of competition, as I thought it was, man. It's just about partnership. You know, I got friends who sponsors now where they're sponsees, and it's okay. God doesn't know our titles, man. He doesn't care. He knows human beings. You know what I mean? It's about the togetherness. You know, so I assure you, I know there's guys here new to this, maybe old to this, maybe, you know, where I was, and just saying, man, it's about opening them arms. It's about just letting that ego slide aside for a moment, giving in, being brothers and sisters, doing what we're supposed to do in life, helping each other, serving each other. feeling the love that's involved in that, feeling the power that's involved in that. And I assure you, you'll feel like I do. You know, and booze doesn't exist in this world. And I guess I'm done, huh? Yeah, it looks like I'm done. But it's been awesome coming out here. I love coming out here every year, man. Thank you guys so much.